Welcome to The Word at First Pres. The sermon you're about to hear is not part of a regular sermon series. It stands on its own and can be instructive to our Christian faith in its own way, even though it's not linked to other sermons. I hope you enjoy.
Our first reading today is from Romans 12, 4 to 13. For as in one body, we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer, and contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next scripture reading is from John, chapter 15, verses 12 to 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning. I'm sorry I couldn't be here with you in person. We thought it might be better for me to stay home than to cause a super spreader event with everyone in the congregation. So I want to begin by saying Happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there. And I hope that your family has something special in store for you this morning. For those of you watching who are getting ready to celebrate with your mother, I just want to remind you that this is the third most celebrated holiday in the United States. Fun fact, 113 million cards are sent on Mother's Day. 85% of all men and women participate in this particular holiday. So I hope that you have taken the time to actually come up with something very nice to say to your mom, a card that you've sent. Maybe you're going out to lunch, but if you didn't have anything planned, I think it might be in your best interest to do something. Otherwise, the rest of your year could turn out really, really poorly. Now, of course, the reason why we celebrate Mother's Day is because our mothers not only gave birth to us, which is no small feat in and of itself, if we're being honest, but also because our mothers sacrifice so very much for us. Our mothers give so much to us. And I know in our culture today that's changing a bit, with the men doing a little bit more in the household. But for most of human history, women have shouldered the primary caretaking responsibility. And this was certainly true for me in my household. My mom was my primary caretaker. If I got hurt, I didn't go to my dad. That would be a horrible idea. My dad had no sympathy whatsoever. If I got hurt, sure, he would fix me up, but he would also chastise me for having gotten hurt in the first place. There's nothing like bleeding all over the place and getting berated all at the same time. Now, if I wanted sympathy, I would go to my mom. My mom would fix me up, and she'd give me a popsicle to boot. And so my mother, she was raised in the South. And she raised her children, myself and my sisters, with those same Southern values. And so I thought I'd take a page from TC's playbook today and talk about my mom for this sermon. I know TC isn't here anymore, but you know, he spent every sermon talking about his dad, and he's not here to contest that, so we're just going to go with that. And today, I'm going to talk about my mother, and I've actually thought about it. I've actually spoken more about my mom in the last 4 sermons than I think I have in the entire 9 years that I've been here. So this will be a good bookend to all of that. So my mother, she grew up in the South, and she grew up with something called Southern hospitality. And Southern hospitality requires that you be polite to everyone. And that was true for my mom. She very much wanted me to be polite to everyone. You had to say please and thank you all the time. When you came across an elder, you addressed that elder as sir or ma'am. And you showed respect to everyone, even strangers, because you never knew when that stranger could come back and impact you later on in your life. And this was particularly true also for people who worked low-wage or menial jobs. Showing them a bit of kindness and appreciation could go a long way. When I was studying over at Oxford, and if you got your bingo card, you can mark that one down. When I was over there, I would go eat in these very large halls like you would see in Harry Potter. This is a picture of where I used to eat. This is the actual hall where we used to eat in. It was at St. Catherine's College. And what would happen at dinner time is you would come in and you would be served a 3-course meal. You would be served a salad course and then your main entree, and then you would be given a dessert. And it wasn't just students who worked there for money, but there were also people who worked there full time as their career. And there was this one woman who worked there who just really disliked everyone. She always just looked very grumpy. She was older. She had worked at Oxford for her entire career. And so as a result of working with these 18 to 22-year-old kids who showed her no appreciation and believed, well, you know what? You're being paid to be here. You're here to serve me. Why should I thank you? She had just become very sour over the years. But I took my mother's advice, and I always showed her a great deal of kindness. I always wanted to make sure that she knew that I appreciated the work that she put in. So I'd say thank you every day after we would have dinner. And what happened was, over time, when I would walk in, she would see me, and she would have that kind of dour look on her face, but then she'd kind of perk up, and she'd say, hello, how are you doing? And eventually, she would always find her way into my section, and for dessert, I would always eat fruit. I loved eating fruit, and so she would go get me the best picked fruit that they would have and bring it to me in a bowl, and just was very, very nice to me. And I remember my peers, my classmates, they would be like, this woman hates everybody. Why does she like you? And I would often think to myself, well, if you just showed her a little kindness, a little appreciation, I bet she would return the favor. My mother also taught me that you need to show appreciation for every gift that you're given, even if it's something that you don't want. I learned this the hard way when I was 11 years old. It was Christmas, and my cousin had come to visit us. So a little bit about my cousin. Today, he is the vice president of Shenandoah University. But at the time he was growing up, he grew up in really bad poverty. And so when he came to my house, he was super excited. And he was like, Alex, we got the best present for you. I can't wait for you to open it. So he hands it to me. And of course, I'm excited. I rip it open. And it's an issue of Nintendo Power magazine. This is actually the exact issue that you're seeing here on the screen. If you're not familiar with Nintendo Power, it was very popular in the late 80s and early 90s. If you played Nintendo, it was a magazine that allowed you to kind of learn all the tips and tricks that you need to get through the game. Today, you just go to YouTube, but back then, you needed a magazine. And I subscribed to Nintendo Power magazine. And so, of course, I already had this issue. And my mom looks down at me, and she goes, what do you say, Alex? And I said, oh, thanks. And because I wasn't effusive and super excited, he goes, well, what's the matter? I said, well, I already have this issue. And my mom goes, Alex, oh, I'm so sorry. He's so rude. You know, I keep trying with him, and, you know, there's just no change in him. I apologize. Apparently, telling the truth in that situation was the wrong thing to do. And later on, my mom, she chewed me out, and she said, "Look, Alex, your cousin, he doesn't have a lot of money. They spent, even though it was only $5, they spent that on you, and that was a lot for them. And so when somebody gives you a gift, show your appreciation. Even if it's something you already have, even if it's something you don't want, always say thank you and let the person know that you appreciated the thought and the effort." I remembered that going into the future. My mother, she was also really, really big on table manners. So every night, we would come together as a family and eat dinner together. That was very, very important to her that we would do this together. So we'd come down, we'd come to the table, you couldn't start eating until everyone was there at the table. And there were a lot of rules you had to follow while you were eating. So you had to sit up straight, that was very, very important. You had to keep your hands and arms off the table, couldn't lean, that was a big one. You had to eat with the utensils in the right hands and sometimes in the right order. You couldn't speak while there was food in your mouth. When you chewed, you had to chew with your mouth closed, which was a little hard for me because my mom was a smoker, and so I had like a constant nose, like my nose was always like dripping while I was a kid, so I like basically was holding my breath while I was eating. And the big thing was that you couldn't leave until you had finished all the food on your plate and asked to be excused. Now, that's a short list of the various demands that were given of me. And as you might imagine, as a kid, I was constantly breaking one rule or another. And so I was always getting yelled at dinner. But even if I made it through the entire dinner without getting yelled at for breaking one of the table manner rules, I would often get yelled at for breaking grammatical rules. So my mom was a real big stickler for grammar. If she asked me, she said, "Alex, how's your day today? How'd you do on that test?" It was a trap. You had to be careful, really careful. So if I said, "Oh yeah, no, I did really good on that test." "No, you didn't. You didn't do good on that test. Alex, you did well on the test." Or if my mom said, "Hey, are you finished with your dinner?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, no, I'm done." "Alex, you finish your meal. A piece of meat is done. Are you a piece of meat?" "I don't know. Maybe I am a piece of meat. You yell at me all the time. I kind of feel like I'm one." I actually remember when I was 17 years old, I was coming down. I had to eat real fast because I was going to swim practice. You can mark that one on your bingo card too. So I was going to swim practice, which, by the way, I've talked a lot about swimming in the last couple of weeks as well. That'll go away too eventually. So I'm eating my food, and my mom was talking about how she went out to lunch with a friend of hers, and her friend had gotten a little bit inebriated, and she was the one driving. And my mom said, "Well, needless to say, my friend, she didn't drive very good." And I immediately piped in, and I said, "You mean well, she didn't drive well. So I got to go and get to swim practice. I'll see you guys later." Now, what's interesting was it was reflexive. I didn't even realize that I had said that to her, because it had just been pounded into me for so long. And as I was getting up and walking away, I looked at my mom and I could see this quizzical look on her face, and she was kind of putting the pieces together in her mind, and she realized that she hadn't used the adverb. And she just started laughing. She thought it was the greatest thing ever. It was the first time that I had ever corrected my mother's grammar. After 17 years of beating the difference into my head between the difference between good and well, it had finally paid off. Now, these are some of the funnier anecdotes of my mom and kind of how she could be a stickler for all of these little personal interactions that we would have. But my mom taught me some bigger things about life that I still carry with me to this day. She taught me about friendship, and she taught me about community. And basically, when it came to friends, you treat your friends like they're family. And when it comes to community, well, you need to do everything in your power to improve your community. And she got both of these ideas really from the Bible. So we read this morning from the Gospel of John. And in this scripture, Jesus is giving his disciples a new commandment. And he says to them, "Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, within this commandment is something actually really, really radical and profound that we can easily gloss over, because when we hear love one another, of course, we hear Jesus say that all the time. And so I think it can be very easy for us to just move on from it. But he doesn't just say love one another. That's a commandment that's in the Old Testament. Jesus says you need to love one another as I have loved you. And he then goes on to specify what that means. No one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend. So the type of love that he's talking about is a very sacrificial love. A love where you're willing to give up everything for your friends. Now, if you're a mother or a father, I think you know what kind of love Jesus is talking about right here. Because if push came to shove, I know every single mother and father in here that you would be willing to lay down your life for your child. You'd be willing to sacrifice yourself for your child. But that's your child. Jesus is telling us that he wants us to lay down our lives for our friends. That's a much higher bar and much, much more challenging to execute. So I pose the question to you, are you willing to lay down your life for your friends? Are you willing to sacrifice everything for them? I think most people, if they were asked that question, would say, no, I like my friends, I might even love my friends, but I'm not going to lay down my life for them. Interestingly, this was my definition of friendship when I was growing up. I actually got it from my mother. If I considered you to be a friend, then that meant I was willing to lay my life down for you. If I didn't consider you a friend, I would think of you as an acquaintance, and I wasn't going to do the same thing. I remember when I was in high school, my friends, we actually ended up having a conversation about friendship. What qualifies you as a friend? And I told them my definition. And I remember there was a girl in my class who actually lives here in Chicago. She works for CPS as a teacher. And she said, you know, I like you guys and all, but I can tell you, I'm never going to lay down my life for any of you. And that always stuck with me because my mom was so very different. If you were a friend, she would go to the ends of the earth for you. She would do anything for you, particularly if you were in a bind. So for all of my mother's flaws, I can tell you that I really respected this about her. And she would even do this for people who wouldn't reciprocate. And I remember at one point I actually called her out on this. I was like, why are you helping this woman? Like, she would stab you in the back the first opportunity that she got. And I remember my mom, she said, you know what, Alex? You're right. She absolutely would. But you have to understand, my friends all bring something unique to my life. Some of my friends are confidants. Other friends of mine give me good advice. This woman, she makes me laugh. And not all my friends can make me laugh. And I need laughter in my life. Now, at the time, I didn't realize it, but this too came from the Bible. We actually read it this morning from the book of Romans, and I want to read it to you again. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. In other words, everybody has different gifts. Your job is to appreciate what those gifts can bring to your life. And this was really revolutionary for me personally, because up until that point in time, I was really, really selective with my friends. Obviously, I was willing to lay down my life for my friends, so of course I'm going to be a bit choosy with them. And as a result of this, because the bar was so high, I was kind of looking for the whole package, and I didn't have very many friends. But when my mom explained this to me, I realized that I was being too harsh, too judgmental, and that I needed to stop looking at all of the flaws I was finding in people and start to look for the positive, the gifts that they bring. And this actually served me very, very well in the pastoring world when I got to a church, because I don't know if you know this about people in the church, but sometimes they can be hard to deal with. Of course, I'm not talking about any of you sitting out there right now. No, none of you. But some people, they can be hard to deal with. And so, because I took on this mentality, what it did for me is it allowed me to set aside and forgive many of the negative traits that I might experience in somebody who comes to the church and really value the positives of the gifts that they bring to our community. And in my experience, this is honestly the best way for us to create a strong, loving community. This is exactly what my mother did in our hometown. So my mom was very active in politics. She was active in her book club. She was active in the gardening club. She was active in the school system. And in her own quiet, powerful way, she moved our little town to work more closely together. She took all of her friends who had all of these unique gifts and attributes, and she brought them together and used them for the benefit of our community. And frankly, that's what we need to be doing here in the church. You should be asking yourself a question. How can I use my gifts for the benefit of this community? How can I make this community stronger by what I bring to it? Now, our elders, they are working very hard to try to pull this out of you, to try to make you think about this. So if you haven't thought about that, if you haven't thought about what are the gifts that I bring to this community, how can I help this community, that's something that's really important that you do need to think about. Because as my mother demonstrated to me in my life, that's how you create a community that matters. That's how you create a community that makes a difference in the world. So as you go out to celebrate your mother today, I hope that you will take a little bit of advice from my Southern mother. So first of all, sit up straight. Always say please and thank you. Know the difference between good and well. And make sure that you really love your friends fully and unconditionally. But most importantly, when you see your mother today, I hope that you will tell them about all the positive ways that they influenced your life. Because some of those positives are ways that you can give back to this community and make this church a stronger place. I hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day. I'm sorry I couldn't be with you here today. Amen.
Thanks for listening. And if you want to learn more about First Presbyterian Church of Arlington Heights, please visit www.firstpresah.org for more information on service times, directions, and to learn more about the First Pres family of faith.